As a fireman, I used to enjoy lots of sports. In fact, I still enjoy them. I just don't play them as well as I used to when I was a younger man. And one of the sports that we really loved to play on the fire department was basketball. And many times we would play one truck against another truck. And so this one day, Ladder One, which I was a member of, in fact drove, Ladder One was playing against Engine One. And we were in the gym, and it was a close game. We were going back and forth, back and forth. And somehow I got a steal. And so I'm running full court down to do a layup. And as I go to do the layup, this guy cuts in front of me, and I stepped on his shoe. And as I'm putting up the layup, my big toe is on top of his foot, and it pops out of joint. I made the shot. Just saying. I would not let that deter me. But I tell you what, I got down on the ground and was rolling around and yelling and screaming like a little baby. Well, no, like a big baby. It hurt so much. I looked down at my tennis shoe, and here is this bump where my big toe was supposed to be flat. And I was just, I mean, I could not get relaxed. It hurt me so. I mean, I hobbled myself over to the sidelines, and I'm up against the wall, and I'm just screaming, ah, ah! And my captain, bless his little heart, he comes running over, and they undo my high top and easily take my shoe off my foot. And then my captain said, he asked me some stupid question. I don't even know what it was. All I know is it was stupid because it had absolutely nothing to do about my toe. And as I was thinking about what he was asking me, all of a sudden he pulls my toe. And he pops it back into place. And all of a sudden my world just goes from, ah! Thank you. I'm not sure if that's the answer you wanted. But I'm relieved. Sometimes physical pain is a wonderful tool designed by God to help us to realize that something is wrong. And God's judgment is an important tool to help us correct the things that are destroying us. Yeah. Left to our own devices, we have this great propensity. I'm sorry, that's a big word, isn't it, kids? We have this great struggle with wanting to do the things that this flesh, this human knowledge wants us to do, which isn't always good, right? Did any of you teach your children to lie? Did you do that?
No.
No, really, I saw you do it. Did you do it?
Uh-uh.
I mean, our little kids, these innocent little babies, will look at us and bold-faced lie. Did you do that?
No.
No, I saw you touch the bowl, and now we have chocolate cake on the floor. Do you like chocolate cake?
Mmm. A lot.
Did you touch the bowl?
Maybe.
So, we didn't have to teach our kid that. But we do have to teach them to be truthful. Right? I mean, so there is this part of us that wants to disobey God. But fortunately, we have His Spirit, who keeps us in check, who, when we know we've done wrong, but we're afraid to admit it, or we don't have the guts to say, you know what, you're right. God, I did that. That His Spirit leads us into the very presence of God, and we are able to say, God, please forgive me. And we know because we've all experienced it at one point in time in our life, right? Where we felt so bad about the life that we were living that we finally got down on our knees before God and we said, oh God, please forgive me for the stupid things I've been doing. And to this day, I've not been able to get off my knees because I keep doing stupid stuff. But praise God, He keeps me tender towards Him, that when I sin, I am quickly checked in my mind. And my wife would say, not quickly enough sometimes. Because she's my other Holy Spirit. We help ourselves up that way as I help correct her. Yeah, see, it's a two-way street. We have an equal opportunity marriage to point out each other's wrongs and to encourage each other to walk in the way that we know that God wants us to walk as Christians. Spiritual pain is God's necessary tool to bring us to a point of desperation. When we finally admit to ourselves and to others, you know what? The way I'm living and the choices I'm making, they're not right. And I need to get it right. And so we cry out to God. And what does God do? Well, no, you need to go through door number one over here, and then after you graduate from that, then you go to door. No. God instantly does what? Forgives you. And in fact, Jesus is standing before the Father going, Father, you know those charges that are against, and you put your name there. I died. And my blood has covered up that sin. So that there are no charges against them today, Father, because they have finally come to you and admitted, oh, I'm just a sinner, saved by the grace of God. And God issues forth the love and forgiveness that He has wanted to bestow upon you anyway. And He calls you into this deep love relationship where He wants you to just draw near to Him. And as you draw near to Him, according to the promise that's in James chapter 4, if we will draw near to God, He what? Will draw near to us. Have you ever thought about that? That God wants to be in your company? And some of us go, whoa, whoa. Wait a minute. Are you sure about that, God? And God would go, yes. I'm very sure that I want to be in your company. Do you want me in your company? That's where the question is. It's not whether or not God wants to be in your company. He wants to be around you. Why? He is your Father. He is the one who created you in His image. In the image of God, you have been made. You have been created. And He desires to spend time with you as His child, to teach you in His ways. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. Our nation has pulled away from God. Can I hear an amen? And some speculate that we have experienced some of God's judgments against us. They look at various storms, economic downturns. They look at all the evidences of the world, and they say, well, that's been God's judgment. I'm sorry, but if you will look at your Old Testament and see when God brings judgment to a nation, he doesn't just bring a little pressure. God brings a lot of pressure. So I've got to believe, because America has not been completely crushed yet, that God's favor is still going out to America. And why is that? Because there are still those who are seeking after him, who are crying out, Lord God, save this nation and save us as a people. And it's the prayers of the righteous that are availing much and holding back the judgments of God. But do not think that God's judgments will be held back forever. There will be a day. And we can't even stand underneath the pressure of God's finger, much less the hand of God coming down on our nation. So we as a people need to be in harmony with this one idea that we are going to pray this nation back to God, to have a spiritual awakening. And that's what the sermon series is about. Cry out, one cry, for spiritual awakening in America. I still believe it can happen. If I didn't, I'd be down at Prescott Country Club right now cleaning golf carts. But I believe in a God that can still do the miraculous. But how does God's miraculous power get released? It gets released through the prayers of the saints. We've got to seek after his face. We've got to seek what his plans are for this nation. And not just by ourselves in the prayer closet like War Room, the movie. How many of you have seen the movie War Room? Love it, right? Big old heart, love the movie. And that's great for personal war, to take back some of that property that Satan has stolen away from us, to reclaim those lives and those areas of importance in our life, to have a plan that you sit down and you use the scriptures and the truth of God's word to reclaim our families, our relationships, our nation. But there's even a greater power when we join together. Wherever two or three are gathered together in my name and declare anything as touching anything on this earth, so it will be done. Not it might be done. It will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Got that back. On earth as it is in heaven. So it'll be done. Let me ask you a question. Have you experienced God's spiritual pain or pressure? All of us do. All of us do. We know when we've disobeyed the Father. And praise God, his Spirit lives within us, and it taps us on the head, or it somehow brings a conviction to us that, you know what, I've got to make this thing right between my Father and with others that maybe I've offended. Because there are times, I know it's hard to believe, but there are times when I offend people. Me, Mr. Lovey-Dovey. There are times when my words or my mannerisms might harm somebody. And I apologize if that happens. I don't always know about each and every case, nor do I want to necessarily know about each and every case, unless I have a repetitive problem. Then please come in love and face me. But you know what we have happen in churches instead? Well, if I get offended by something that the pastor says, I make a run for that exit, and I will never darken those doors again, because after all, that pastor should be perfect. Job available. Anybody like it? Because I am not perfect. And the only way that I can be perfect is by you covering me with your prayers. And all of us working together to encourage each other in our walks with Christ. I'm not going to encourage you about what your football picks should be for your fantasy football league or baseball or any of that stuff. I am about Jesus and your walk and your relationship with him. That's what I'm here to do. Encourage you to have a loving relationship with Jesus. Because it's given to us through the sacrifice of Jesus. So, back to my question. Have you experienced God's spiritual pain or pressure? Our text. Man, the guy's finally getting around to the text. He's been talking for 10 minutes already. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. It's on your outline inside your bulletin. It's right here. Or it's up here. Or it's on my outline. Would you read this with me, please? Sow with a view to righteousness. Reap in accordance to loyalty. Break up the hard ground of your hearts, for it's time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness on you. God, through Hosea, instructs us to do four things in this passage. Four things that will remove pain and bring relief. Those four things, number one, is sow. Plant with a view to righteousness, to right living before God. When you plant, what are you doing? When you plant, what are you doing? I'm throwing out a seed, and I'm hoping what's going to happen? That's going to find some good soil, and that is going to shoot up into all the DNA that's in that seed to become a plant that I want it to become. Why? So that I can maybe eat from it, or maybe it will provide shade for me, or some type of thing. Anyway, you sow, you plant seeds with a view to righteousness, to right living before God. So I am going to plant seeds in my heart and in my mind of God's word so that I can find myself living right before God. Does that make sense? And that's what Hosea is trying to tell us here. So, with a view towards right living with God. If you do that, you will have this relationship with God that will not be broken. How many of you are tired of the roller coaster ride in your relationship with God? Some of you are not. Okay. For those of you that are tired of the roller coaster ups and downs, and you want to be on the steady incline in your knowledge of God and in your presence of knowing his presence is with you, then sow toward a life of right living before God. If I sow towards those things that I know are not right in God's eyes, what do I expect to get from God? Judgment, right? He will come down on me, and I will reap the rewards of foolish choices. And I will not only hurt myself, I will hurt those around me that I love. because of the choices that I make. They affect other people. You are not living in a bubble. Anybody? I don't see anybody in this room living in a bubble. What you do and the choices that you make in your life affect others around you. You see, that's a truth that when I was younger, I didn't get until after we went to some counseling. I mean, I always thought, you know, well, I'll just keep this thing between me and God right, and everything will be good. And it's like, wait a minute. God, through the wisdom of a counselor, said, well, yes, keeping your relationship right with God is a good thing. However, you've also got to be knowledgeable about how you are affecting lives out here by the choices that you're making in your life. And I went, oh. So Hosea is showing us that we're to sow with a view towards righteousness. We're to reap in accordance. Reap is to what? It's to gather, or it's to increase in accordance to loyalty, or as the New American Standard puts it, reap in accordance to kindness. Reap in accordance to kindness or loyalty. Then Hosea writes, break up the hardness of your heart. You see, hardened soil requires using, in farm terms, and Pastor Allen could tell us more about this because he's more experienced in it than I am. But when you have really hard soil, it tends to get cracks in it, and it dries out. And so a farmer takes his tractor out there, and it's got these cutting discs. They're like Frisbees made out of steel, made out of metal. And they're at an angle. And the whole thing is about those discs as they go across the top of the soil is it breaks up that dried up dirt that's not good for planting in. And then the second time, the farmer will go in the opposite direction. In other words, he'll plow this way, and then he'll plow this way. Why? To break up all those clods and to get that soil so broken up that it's able to take in the seed that's going to be sown into it. How to do it, Al? Is that good? Okay. That's the old way? Now, see, there you go. I get old information. But we've got to break up the hardness of our hearts. How many of you have felt like you've had a hardened heart towards God? You know what you should be doing. And it's not about a legalistic relationship with God. Instead, it's a relationship of love. And you know that you're just not in that love relationship with Him as He is totally in love with you. You got to break up the hardness of that heart. And don't do it just one time and think you're good. Keep breaking it up. Keep breaking it up, just like the farmer. Keep crisscrossing. Do whatever you got to do to break up and get that soil ready for the good seed. Lastly, seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Here's your fill-in. Pain brings desperation. You see, pain brings desperation. When I had my toe out of location, I had desperation. I need relief from that pain. Well, we are all in a spiritual dislocation from God. And the only way that we can get an alignment is when the Holy Spirit grabs a hold of us and puts us back where we belong. Right? So pain brings desperation, which leads to repentance. And when I repent, Lord God, forgive me, I know that I have done such and such. That then brings God's forgiveness. And when I have God's forgiveness, when I receive God's forgiveness, that will bring relief. You know what the hard thing for us is? We accept God's forgiveness, but we won't forgive ourselves. Can I hear an amen? Because who wants to keep you alerted to your faults? Satan. And he will jump in with both feet on top of you. And especially if you crack open the door and say, you know what? I'm just not as good as, and you start comparing yourself to somebody else. Or you think that your walk isn't as great as someone else's, and you start comparing yourself, it's all over. The devil will jump in on board and he will try to make you continue to feel guilty. Don't open up the door for him. Pain brings desperation, which leads to repentance, that brings God's forgiveness, that brings relief. Accept the relief. God's blood, the Son of God's blood, brings relief of all your sin. Let it. It's powerful. Allow the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you from your sins. Psalm 32, verses 3 to 5. Read this with me, if you will. It's in your bulletin. When I refused to confess my sin, my body wasted away, and I groaned all day long. Day and night, your hand of discipline was heavy on me. My strength evaporated like water in the summer heat. Finally, I confessed all my sins to you and stopped trying to hide my guilt. I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord. And you forgave me. All my guilt is gone. Does the writer of this psalm resonate with you at all? Does this not speak to your spirit and your relationship with God? When I refuse to confess my sin, man, we waste away. I groan all night long, and my strength is evaporated. It's like, you know, when I know that I'm in a wrong place with God, I'm not energetic towards doing the things that I know that I should, which is what? Reading the Word and prayer. And meeting together with others to help build me up and encourage and strengthen me in my walk with the Lord. Instead, what will I do? Well, I'm just a loner, and I'll be out here alone. And, well, I mean, I've got the Spirit of God in me, so I will take on all the battle and all the fight, and I'll be victorious. And you can't be victorious on your own. God built you for community. He built you with the idea of you having other brothers and sisters, not to show you how bad you are or to rank on you, but rather to love you to the Lord, to love you into becoming Christ-like in your life. Your next fill-in, I love this. We don't sin in generalities, so don't repent in generalities. Be specific. We don't sin in generalities, so don't repent in generalities. Oh, Lord God, you know all the wrongs that I've done. You know, please forgive me. And boy, oh, don't I feel good about that. But no. If I get specific, if I start calling myself out as to what I'm really struggling with, then God goes, oh, okay, now you're finally recognizing that you've got this weakness. And guess what? Now, through the power of my word and my spirit that lives in you, we can deal with this. And we can root it out. We can let the sword of the spirit just get in there and cut that out of your life so that you no longer have to be subject to it. And if it's something that you need to be held accountable to, guess what? I placed you within a church body to have others that come alongside of you that help you in your growth. This week, I'm giving you homework, church.
What?
Yeah, I'm giving you homework. You've got this yellow paper in your bulletin. It's called a ticket of admission. Now, most of the time we see a ticket of admission, we think we're going in someplace. And that's right. You're going into the presence of God. And you're going to go into the presence of God by admission of your sins. One of these per person. And they're to be used alone during your prayer time. Now, this is the plan. I want you to work the plan this week. Nobody else, I'm just going to relieve your fears of this right away. Nobody else is going to see this worksheet but you and God. But what I want you to do is on the back side of this ticket of admission, there's the admission plan. And what it says is on a separate piece of paper, write down the responses to the following prompts, as if you were confessing your sins to God and asking Him to forgive you. Don't be in a hurry to finish. You don't get any extra bonus points by having it done in the next hour. Okay? But brutally examine each area with all honesty and with the Spirit's strength. And you might want to start this journey with Psalm 51. And we know that that's David's great psalm of repentance. Right? When he was called out for having an affair with Bathsheba, for having sexual relationships outside of the covering of marriage. He adulterated with another woman. Psalm 51, David calls himself out on his sin. Psalm 19, 14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And finally, Psalm 139, 23. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there be any wicked way in me. Now, what I'd like you to do in response to this prompt is start with the great commandment. I gave you where the reference is, Mark chapter 12, verses 30 and 31. All of us know it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is just as powerful as the first, and love others as you love yourself. Now be brutally honest with yourself. Do you love others? Do you love God with everything that you are? Take time and write down your response to that. Not now. This is your homework for the week. And then you proceed on down the list. Next, is there coldness or a lack of prayer in your life? What about study of God's word? Confess it to God. Third, Jesus said if we're praying, if we have any issue with someone else, to forgive and ask forgiveness. You see, if you let the sun go down on an issue between you and a brother or a sister, you are allowing Satan to come in and divide your relationship. Get it worked out before the sun goes down. In other words, quickly. Because otherwise, that person who has bad feelings towards you and you who have bad feelings towards that person, guess what? The mind starts working and you start thinking of all the different ways that that person has done you dirty. And they start thinking of all the ways that you've done them dirty. And so then it gets more and more messed up. Keep a short list between yourself and others. Fourth, do you have any outstanding lies you have told that you need to straighten out? Honesty brings relief. Friday, I played golf. Go figure, right? I played golf down in Phoenix. And I just went out there by myself. They paired me up with another guy. And he and I got to talking. And I said, well, what do you do? And he says, well, I run 3 recovery homes down in Phoenix. And I said, wow. I said, then your work is a lot like my work. I said, we are trying to bring people into a right relationship and into making right decisions. And he goes, what do you do? And I go, I'm a minister. He goes, wow, are you kidding? I said, no. And so we got to share about what we deal with in people and how both of us, you know, we see people, you know, they're doing really good and they're starting to make really good decisions in their life, and then they come to a place where they have a point of weakness and they fall. And then we are there. We're called in then on the decline to help pick them up and put them back together and encourage them. Wait a minute. It doesn't have to be like this. It can be back up here. It was just a real blessing, and I was able to. I said, well, I don't know what you use in your recovery homes. I said, but there's a scripture verse that I'm in a mentoring class with some men that I meet with every week. And it's Proverbs 23, verse 7. And one of my mentoring guys who's here, who's very good with memory, will pull that out and he'll say, okay, the man's a mystery. As a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And this guy, his name was Mark, or Jack. And Jack just looked at me and he goes, that is so good. I'm going to use that in my recovery homes. That as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. You know, put your aim up a little bit higher. Fifth, is there any sexual sin lurking? There's a strong power urging you to live in the fleshly living. Don't. It's an abomination to God. We could point out all sorts of scriptures that talk about living immorally, sexual sins. They're all throughout the Bible. And at every one of them, God says, don't. Dedicate your life to me. Keep your life pure towards me. Only involve yourself in a sexual relationship within the bounds of marriage, because that is what I have ordained as God. Not me. Don't take that. Pastor said that. No. God says it. That the only time that sexual relationships between a man and a woman, not a man and a man or a woman and a woman, but a man and a woman, that the only time that it's okayed by God is in relationship that is committed to each other. Otherwise, all you're doing is going around messing up a bunch of people.
Oh, I love you, I love you, I love you. Oh, ha.
And then,
oh, I hate him, I hate him, I hate him. Oh, he just did this to me. Oh.
Don't go there. Don't keep falling into that same pit, because your heart keeps getting broken every time you do. 6, have you slandered anyone? Hey, did you hear that really good one about Beto? Let me tell you about him. Man, you won't believe what he did. What? What is that? Oh, it's gossip. It's slander. When we talk badly, instead, what are we supposed to do? We're to look for the good in each other. As Beto said, I got enough. I can do bad all by myself. But I need others to point out the good in me. And that's what we need to be about. 7, are there times when your words have grieved the Holy Spirit living in you, maybe wounding others? Last, are your closest relationships, husband, wife, children, brothers, and sisters, are you at peace with them? This is your homework. I'm asking you to go through this admission plan. Write them down on a piece of paper. Maybe take a whole tablet. I don't know what your life is about. But then what I want you to do is bring that in next week. And we're going to do an exercise. Nobody else is going to see what you have written. I just want to arrest any fear of that. Nobody is going to see what you have put out before you and God. You let God just go through with you on each of these topics. And go through and make that list. And next week, bring that list in, and we're going to do something that's fantastic. Fantastic, I'm telling you. You just can't miss next week. Work the plan. God loves each and every one of you. Each and every one of you. How can you say that with such confidence, Pastor? Because God sent His only Son to die for you. If there be no other person on this earth, Jesus came for you. And why did He come and do that? For one reason. To put you in a right relationship with the Father. Not to win you into a religion, but to win your heart in a love relationship with the one who created you in the first place. Loving Heavenly Father, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit that we would all just be brutally honest with you this week. That we would take this exercise and not just do it one day, but maybe go back through it time and time again. Until we are able to either run out of ink or paper, but then to help realize that if we repent these things to you, that your forgiveness comes, which gives us relief from the guilt. Lord God, I pray that you cover over each and every person here, that as they put themselves towards doing this work, that they will prove themselves as your children. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one more thing about this One Cry book. And I could be going out on a limb here because I could be a great-grandfather at any moment again for my third time. She already missed the due date that I expected. But little Quinn is kind of holding out. She kind of likes it in her mom's tummy, but soon she's going to make her debut. And, of course, great-grandma and grandpa will probably be around there, or at least one of us anyway. Next Sunday, not only do I want you to bring back those worksheets that you're working on during this week, but I want us as a church to involve ourselves in a prayer event. To come to the church, we're going to open the church up at 4 o'clock. We're going to close it down probably at 8 o'clock. And you can come and go, spend as much time as you want to, but it's a prayer event to pray for a spiritual awakening in our nation. It will not happen unless we cry out in desperation for it. You see, revival starts right here. So get it right here. And then come get it right together. As we cry out to God to move in a supernatural way as only He can do. Next Sunday from 4 to 8. God bless you all. Thank you.